There was a monk who entered a monastery and he took an oath of silence. He was allowed to speak two words once a year. The first year came and he met with the head abbot and he said, "Better food." So the abbot hired a new chef and improved the food. Another year went by, and he met with the head abbot again, and he said, "Warmer blankets." So the abbot got new blankets for everyone. And then the third year he met with the head abbot, and he said, "I quit." And the abbot said, "Well, good, because all you've ever done since you came here was complain." Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining. This goes on the refrigerator and in the car of every person, including me. Do everything without complaining. A number of you know that in my past life, I used to love to lead tours. I led lots of tours of a lot of musical groups all around the country and in foreign places. I'd love to lead spiritual pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We had fun trips as well. And I had orientation meetings with all of the groups that I took anywhere. And when I had the orientation meeting, I told them I have three rules. Number one is no complaining. Number two is no complaining. And number three, can you guess what it was? No complaining. Maybe you've heard this quote. Constant complaining is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. There's a famous story in the book of Numbers. It's during the Exodus, and you know this story very well. Here's part of it. This is Numbers 11. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when the Lord heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned around them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them. The name Taberah literally means place of burning. Okay, it goes on, continues. The rabble with them. I love that word. I never use that word, the rabble. May no one ever refer to any of us as the rabble. If you don't know what it is, look it up. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." Moses heard the people of every tribe wailing at the entrance of their tents, and the Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. God had good reason to be angry, but listen carefully to what Moses said next. Moses then asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on me, your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land that you promised them and their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat, give us meat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. Well, simply put, Moses complained too, didn't he? Big time. Poor God. He was hearing a choir singing the same tune over and over, and the words were, why me? Why me? And it made him very angry. And thankfully, you and I are far more enlightened today. We never complain. We just state the facts. At least that's what I do. I never complain. You do know better, don't you? Like the Israelites who were wandering through the wilderness, you and I are wandering through this life, and sometimes it doesn't go just the way we want it to, does it? And just like God's chosen people, we are all wired to find something to complain about. When and where did all that start? Well, let's see. God said, don't eat that fruit. And you know what happened. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They became dissatisfied with things, and then Adam complained to God that it was his fault for creating that woman. It was then that everything started. We complain about what happened yesterday. Can we change what happened yesterday? No. So we complain about what happens today. Can we change what happens today? Probably not. So we complain about what might happen tomorrow. And some of us are very good at it. As Christians, we need to be instructed by God's word. Amen? As Christians, we need to be instructed by God's word. So let's think about what James said in chapter 4, verse 14. He said, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That's a very humbling scripture. It's a tough one. Here's another one. And if we haven't already memorized this one, we all should memorize it. This is Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's a great one. Memorize it. There. That's the end of today's sermon. Oh, but wait. Perhaps we should mention this. The older people get, the more they seem to complain. So what is the answer to that problem? Don't get old, duh. Okay, you can easily see where I'm going to go with this sermon. I imagine you could probably preach it yourself. Right, Maggie? Say right. Okay. God made it clear that complaining can make him very, very angry. And he has been known to deal with complainers with punishment, not unlike a parent having to punish an immature child. So, what do we need to do about it? Let me suggest that the first step is to recognize that complaining is not just a maturity issue. Complaining is not just an aging issue. Complaining is a spiritual issue. Complaining is a spiritual issue. When you and I complain, we show a lack of faith. Do you trust God or not? Do you believe in God's word or not? Does your theology include the fact that God is in control or not? Have you ever thought about this? When we complain, it's actually a form of rebellion. And that rebellion is against God. And that is a root issue that is clearly defined in the Bible. What was Satan's biggest sin? Satan's biggest sin was pride. And his pride led him to complain. And that led to his rebellion against God. And that rebellion, of course, led to God's wrath. Are we rebellious? You betcha, we are. Here is a short but a very scary scripture. This is from 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. Do you need a definition of the word divination? Divination means seeking guidance from anything or anyone other than from God. And it includes abominations to God, such as astrology, fortune telling, Ouija boards, crystal balls, etc. The Bible calls all of that idolatry. And it goes on to say that all of those practices and many others like them are ungodly, satanic, and detestable to God. The reason I'm kind of bearing down on those words is because I've known too many Christians who play with this stuff. Dangerous, ungodly, satanic, and detestable. Well, Harry, I don't do those things. Well, perhaps not. But according to 1 Samuel 15, if you complain, it is ungodly, satanic, and detestable. Did you hear that? I never thought of that. But that's what the Bible says. As we said earlier, this is a spiritual problem for all of us. And when other people hear us complain, they don't see a positive testimony about God, do they? They see and they hear something entirely different. Is that what you want? A negative testimony about God and His grace? Of course not. Are you tired of having your wrist slapped? I am. So let's take some positive steps, shall we? Where do we start? Here's a suggestion. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Is that straightforward or not? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Let me read it again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's called having an attitude of gratitude. Ever heard of that? Having an attitude of gratitude. And how appropriate that we're talking about that one week before Thanksgiving Sunday. I read about a guy who was working on this challenge of having an attitude of gratitude, and he decided he needed a crutch of some type. He needed to do something to help him keep focused. And his solution was to keep a daily journal, to keep a daily journal of all the things for which he was thankful. That day, what am I thankful for today? And to write it down. It's a great idea. I mean, I know that some of you are into journaling, and I know some of you could care less about journaling. But for those of you who have ever tried it, it's a wonderful idea. We need an attitude of gratitude, and it is not easy. It's a challenge. And that's a simple step. It can make this more than a concept. It can make it a real step into commitment. So consider doing that. Taking a positive spiritual step can be more challenging when you live alone. How many of you live alone? Look at that. Look around the room. How many of you live alone? Yeah. Or when you are a loner, some of you live with other people, but you have removed yourself from others. You're a loner. Now, let me tell you, it's more challenging to be a loner in talking about this subject. But if there are other Christians in your life who hear you talk, then let me suggest to you that you make it a joint effort. Hey, Mabel, if you hear me complaining, would you please tell me? It's as simple as that. Sometimes we complain and we don't even realize we're complaining until somebody who loves us enough to say, oops, there you go. Simple, but practical. An attitude adjustment. It's as easy as looking into the mirror to adjust your hair by having somebody mirror your mouth, if you dare. But wait, are complaints sometimes justified? Yeah, they are. Or they can be. And that's when we need to turn them into prayers. If you're frustrated about something, talk to God about it, rather than talking to everybody else about it who will listen. He already knows anyway, but turn it over to Him. That's a wonderful gift we have from God, being able to turn it over to Him. I don't know about you, but I have found that God is much better at renewing my mind and adjusting my attitude than I am. Attitude of gratitude. God said in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about these things, he said. Think about these things, duh. That is super practical advice coming from God Himself. Think about positive things. You don't need to go to seminary to understand that God tells us to think positively. And in the very next verse, he adds this. He says, put it into practice. Four words. Put it into practice. Do it. Do it. Don't just read about it. Don't just listen to Bible teachers and preachers talk about it. Don't put it on the front of a bulletin. Do it. Do it. You know what it says? Put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's kind of hard to be a complainer when you have the full peace of God showering you. I read somewhere that there are four types of complaints. There's productive complaints, venting complaints, chronic complaints, and malicious complaints. Let's talk about those four. In terms of productive complaints, that's like saying what I said earlier, that stating a fact. Okay, so you identify a problem. Share it with the right people in the right way so that they can hopefully do something about it. That's different from complaining. In terms of venting complaining, I think of that as the frustrated person who just needs an outlet for all of their frustration, whether it helps other people or not. And that's a person who is emotionally unhealthy. Avoid them if you can, because they'll drag you down. In terms of chronic complaining, that's what we've been talking about this whole time. That's the person who is spiritually unhealthy. And then there's malicious complaining. Talk about sinful. Malicious complaining should not even cross our paths as Christians, and certainly not be in our mouths. Let's land this baby, okay? If you are a complainer, ask God to forgive you and help you. If you are the victim of a complainer, ask God to help you forgive them. It thrills God when you ask Him to do things like that. Bottom line, Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining. Amen? Heavenly Father, that's so much easier to say than it is to do. So we ask for your grace and your strength and your patience and your forgiveness. Because no person here, Lord, can control their tongue. But you can control our spirits when we give them to you, and it will translate into our mouth. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.